Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Hello and welcome back to the first episode of Scottish Football Covered of 2026. It has been a while, but we are glad to be back. Took a wee Christmas break. Well, it started a wee bit before Christmas, but we'll not get into that. First of all, I'm joined by Stefan. Stefan, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Did I have a good Christmas? Yeah, it was alright. Listen, you can't complain.
Depends what your definition. Yeah, alright, as I suppose. And we are joined with a returning Dom McColgan. Dom, how are you doing, mate?
Hello. Yeah, it's good to be back. Hope you guys had a nice Christmas. Unfortunately, I was just working for most of it, but yeah, it's good to a new year and a new start, or a fresh start, should I say, with the podcast.
And a fresh start at a few other clubs have sacked the manager already this year, so we'll just dive right into it. It's been an absolute whirlwind of a time since we last recorded, and well, I'd need to go back and chat to this whole episode. I don't know if we recorded an episode where Wilfred Nancy was the Celtic manager. It was that we hardly knew him, but obviously, as you're listening, you already know Wilfred Nancy been sacked as Celtic manager after 33 days, managed 8 games, lost 2. If you're that's about a game every 4 days, which is a bit mental, and that just says more about the Christmas structure more than anything. But I'm digressing a wee bit. Stefan, I'll start with you, mate. I think everybody kind of already knows the team, the three is self-support, so they'll probably have a good laugh at this one. But and as nice a way as possible, how do you sum up Wilfred Nancy's time at Celtic?
The nicest way possible is his reign lasted as little as my Christmas tree was up. Took my Christmas tree up on the 3rd of December and took it down 2 hours after he'd been sacked. So, yeah. How do you describe his reign? It's pretty calamitous. 2 wins out of 8 is... Yeah. I mean, it's not good for any Celtic manager. It's not a good look. And... it's hard not to criticise him, but I think you also have to lay criticism at the people that brought him into the club and realise that the buck ultimately stopped with him, but his departure shouldn't be the last head to roll at Celtic Park, if you ask me.
Yeah, of course. In the statement that it was announced that Paul Tisdale has also left Celtic as well as the football doctor, self-reclaimed. But I just kind of see this, but I've done that in quotation marks. I think his official role was like head of football operations. I don't know. He's much better of a charlatan than Wilfred Nancy. I think that's probably better news for Celtic fans that Paul Tisdale was away rather than Wilfred Nancy. Not saying that Wilfred Nancy deserved any further games. But Dom, like Stefan just kind of alluded to there, there's bigger problems at Celtic than Wilfred Nancy. Wilfred Nancy is probably just a cog in the wheel, but his tenure was forgettable, but there's bigger issues at Celtic and they're still existing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for definite. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, you know, I think at the start of the season, we all kind of thought there was going to be more problems behind than on, like, backstage than on the pitch, but it turned out we've got problems both ends, unfortunately. Obviously, with the lack of signings that were coming in the summer, we knew that was, a problem. And I think that's part to blame of the situation that we're in. By end of August, whenever it was, Hearts had a stronghold in the lead, in the league. Of course, Martin, well, Brendan Rodgers leaves. We're in a bad position. We're 9 points behind. And then Martin comes in, settles the ship. We thought, right, okay, he's got us back to within touching distance of catching up to Hearts. And personally, I know it's happened now, but you would think with the games that were still to come up, we had Roma, we had the Cup, we had Hearts at home. You would think, why bring somebody else in straight away when Martin steadied the ship? I know we weren't playing the best football, but I still thought keep him till he's January. Apparently, Nancy didn't want to leave Columbus straight away anyway, so why not keep him till January at least? Anyhow, it's all, fortunately, it's all been, it's done now. But yeah, and of course we've went back to bringing Martin back. Hope. I know we can't, but you wish you could just kind of say the pretend the 30 odd days didn't happen. Like just cut the 30 days out.
See, for me, and I've seen a lot of these tweets on Twitter and things, and I take Dom's point is, Martin O'Neill arguably could have been kept on, right? If Wilfred Nancy didn't want to leave Columbus Crew, and say he wanted to come in the January, we'd had a transfer window to properly go at it. The team have been allowed to steady. Martin O'Neill takes charge of the Hearts game, the Roma game, the St Mirren Cup final, the Dundee United, Aberdeen, Livingston, Motherwell and Rangers games, and he wins them. Celtic are in a pretty good position, right? And I've seen those tweets, and everyone talks about hindsight and, what if this happened, right? No one wants to point out like the obvious. What if that didn't happen, right? What if Martin O'Neill's Celtic lost to Hearts and lost to Roma and lost to St Mirren and struggled to lost to Dundee United but struggled to get by Aberdeen, and Livingston, but still lost to Motherwell and Rangers. What would people have been saying then? They would have been like, well, Wilfred Nancy should have been in as soon as the appointment was made. He should have been in, he should have been taking that team and implementing the style, right? We're all fortunate, we're all great because we have hindsight. And I hate it, because what about means absolutely nothing. It's just talk. The facts are it didn't happen, and while we can all wish it had, because Martin O'Neill had the Celtic players galvanised, right? And he had them playing. And he didn't have them playing a nice brand of football, but he had them winning football games. And that's what struck me in Wilfred Nancy's first conference, after the Hearts game, was it's not about the result, it's about the performance. That was the first red flag. Martin O'Neill had the opposite. He had the results over the performance, and that's ultimately what mattered. But I see all this all like whataboutery. I'm not a fan of it because what about could mean something completely different, had it gone the other way. So no one would have been happy. No one's happy that it happened to Wilfred and Nancy, and if it happened to Martin and Neil, people would have been still complaining about it. So it's like you can't win.
It's like they were saying, of course, with the with the Connect Four thing. Obviously, about his first game at Hearts when he had the whiteboard out with the wee like the wee kind of checker things, and how they were saying. Obviously, of course, he lost the game, so they're taking the mickey out of him. But a few pundits said, like, what if he won the game? Then they would be like, oh, he's a. It's a strategic masterclass how he's changed the game, and he's got this wee board. And so I get what you mean. Like, it's you could say one thing, but if the shoe was on the other foot, it could be a totally different, it could be a positive instead of a, a negative.
I mean, I think there's a lot of issues at Celtic, right? Wilfred Nancy mocking about with a tactics board. Not the worst. A coach wanting to coach and who doesn't speak, his first language isn't English, and he's trying to communicate with players. Let the coach coach. That never bothered me at the time. Honestly, I thought the tweets at that point were absurd. Funny, really, really funny, but absurd. And if we're taking it in a serious context, because I just thought it was a guy coaching. Doesn't look great for the camera, albeit, but I never had a problem with that. But I take your point on board. Pundits, people would have been saying something completely different had Celtic had won. So I take that on board.
It's hard not to feel for the guy on a human level. And then I think as well, if Celtic had, if well, if we're saying there's other problems at Celtic, if the Celtic board had signed a half decent striker, then look, Wilfried Nancy would have probably won a lot. No, definitely would have won a lot many of the games. I think Johnny Kenny let him done more than one. Just quickly to round off the Celtic chat, also Martin O'Neill into the end of the season. Long term, though, going beyond the summer. And look, that presents its own problems with the January transfer window, trying to get guys on big contracts when they've only got an interim manager to speak to. You don't even know who's going to be there. But looking forward to next season, who would you want slash who do you think Celtic are going to get in? Start with you, Stefan.
That's an incredibly tough one because I don't know who's currently available in the managerial market, and I think, and this is a big one, right? Despite Martin O'Neill being in there on the interim basis until the end of the season, the Celtic higher ups need to properly get their act together and source and recruit a coach that is going to bring the very best out of this club and bring the very best talent that we're able to bring to Scotland and to Celtic. It feels like a bit of a moment in time for Scottish football. You always get these big moments in life where things happen, and it almost feels like the tectonic plates are shifting in Scottish football because Tony Bloom Hearts are not going anywhere. And this season just proves that to you that Hearts might not win the league, right? But they've given both the big boys a bloody nose and given them an absolute fight at the moment. I think they take it all the way to May. Hearts aren't going anywhere, right? So Celtic need a coach in that's going to make Celtic the best team in the country. And that goes for any club, right? That goes for Rangers. They want Danny Rowe to make Rangers the best team in the country, right? Celtic need to get that person in, and they need to get them in ship shape. And sorry, get the club into ship shape and get them in sharpish because there's a massive summer ahead that relies on Celtic qualifying for European football, but being ready to go on all fronts come August when the new season rolls around and the challenges that brings. So, who do I think they should bring in? Well, last time Ange Postecoglou came in, he didn't do too bad a job. Do I think he's going to take the role? Probably not. He seems like a guy that's once he's done something, he's conquered it, he's moved on. I would still take the boy from Bodø Glimt, Kjetil Knutsen. I think he would be the standout. The point, and I raised this to someone the other day, is Kjetil Knutsen got supported by the board at Bodø Glimt so that they could go and achieve what they achieved in Europe. And albeit they didn't win the Norwegian League this season, but they've achieved so much at a club through the model in which they have. I don't know if that's something that they can bring to Celtic. I'd love to see it, but that's who I would want in. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if Celtic ended up going for Sean Maloney.
And then Dom, same to you.
Trust in Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustinwill.com for details.
Trust in Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Who do you want slash think Celtic are going to get after Martin Lewis finished this season?
I'm going to agree with Stefan. I know who I would like to see. I would like to see I've said it, you know, countless times, I would love to see the Bodo Glimt manager come in. But like I've said before, there was a Norwegian journalist, and they were talking to him. I think Bodo Glimt were playing Tottenham, and there was a English journalist talking to him, saying, "Oh, why do you think he's never went elsewhere? There's been a lot of clubs that have interest." A Scottish team was mentioned, didn't say the name, but you kind of could put two and two together. And the journalist basically said, because he's comfortable there, he's got the team the way he wants it, he's getting everything he needs. And whether he would get that at Celtic, I don't think so. But yeah, I would agree with Stefan. I would say probably when Martin Neil goes, I wouldn't be surprised if they give it to Sean Maloney or even someone like Damien Duff. I wouldn't be surprised if Celtic do that.
I think, well, just before I move on, I think I'll share my piece as well. I would like it to be Ange Postecoglou. I think when Brendan Rodgers left there, it was a bit unrealistic considering he just left Nottingham Forest. But I think this summer, and then there's something said in the press that it wouldn't really never shut a door in it entirely. So I think there is a chance you can get Ange Postecoglou. Do I think it'll happen? No, I don't think so. I can see them kind of going that Damien Duff / Robbie Keane route. I think it'll be an Irish guy. Robbie Keane, kind of as good as his track record is, that'll be a wanton disaster if that happens, just with the ties he's got to Israel. But we're not getting any of that just now. We could still have it after.
So I think if anything, it would be who could you convince? You know what I mean, if it wasn't going to be like Sean Maloney or Damien Duff, I think it's especially with if of course this is just. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Celtic are in a bad position, say June, like if they don't win the league and they don't do well in the cups, you know, it's then becoming you're going to have to try and convince them, you know, convince a manager to come. And is Ange Postecoglou going to come back if they're in a, you know, if they're, say, if they've lost in the cup and they've lost in the league and they're even, well, right now they're sitting third, and if Rangers start, you know, doing well again, then who, you know, it's going to be a hard ask to try and convince manager to come here.
To a degree, I mean, yeah, I can accept that, but you look at what Ange did the first time around. Celtic were, by all accounts, a bit of a basket case after the COVID season. The dire straits that Lennon had left them in, the board had almost left the club in. Ange Postecoglou was a proper diamond in the rough for Celtic, and he came in at arguably their toughest time since the 90s, and to come in and reform that squad in one, if that two windows, was remarkable. I don't think Celtic could be any worse off than they were 5 years ago, or 6 years ago. Well, 5 years ago when Ange came in. So I don't know, I think it'd be the same challenge again, but you would think, I don't know. I don't think Ange would be put off by that. And I don't think any coach should, because no proper coach wants to come in when everything's plain sailing, and then when it gets, you know, you're in a bit of choppy waters, they want to leave. Coaches want to get stuck in at the hard part and then reap the rewards of the good stuff. So, I don't know. And to your point, Mac, Robbie Keane, I wouldn't mind Robbie Keane at Celtic. He's done well at Ferencvaros. He's done well in, you know, managerial roles. I wouldn't have an issue with him, personally. So, yeah, I wouldn't be against that.
He's got good credentials, but I just think at a time where you need that unity and stability around the club, I think Robbie Keane would probably, as good a manager as he is, a lot of people are going to forget his past managerial roles and that country that we're not going to bring up just now. But we'll move on from the Celtic chat. There's another manager been sacked in the Scottish football realm, and it is Jimmy Tillin, the Swede who brought the Scottish Cup back to Aberdeen for the first time. I think it was about 35 years, 34 years, something like that. I was about to say I think it's controversial, but I don't even think it's controversial. It's probably slightly overdue a wee bit. I think the cup win gave him a lot of cred in the bank, didn't it, Stefan?
Yeah, it did. I was thinking about this earlier. Did he deserve to be sacked? I think he did. And I said a couple of maybe about a month or two ago on the podcast that it was probably a bit early, and he did have enough money in the bank to withhold his place there and hang on. But results since that point have been absolutely outrageous, to say the least. They can't buy a win. Almost their last point was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah, listen, Jimmy Tillin, great coach, and he's done great things for Aberdeen, and I'm sure all the Aberdeen fans will remember that famous Scottish Cup victory in May. No, that's not going to leave them, but it was the right time, and you can't have sentiment run business. It's not how a football club works. So, overdue, yes, I would agree.
I think that's a good word there, sentiment. I think Dave Cormack has been guilty of that. Obviously, he's a big Aberdeen fan. I think he always builds a good relationship with the managers. But I remember Stephen Glass a lot longer than what he probably should have because he's a good friend of Dave Cormack. Jim Goodwin somehow survived that defeat to Darvel, who are in the sixth tier of Scottish football, or they were at the time anyway. And he got like one more game and they could beat 6-0. So he is a guy who kind of probably keeps people by their sell-by date, but look, he won a cup final. That's more than Stephen Glass and Jim Goodwin did. Dom, who should Aberdeen be looking at? Because obviously it's a different kettle of fish to Celtic. So there's been kind of tenuous links to Jens Bertrand, the Motherwell manager. First of all, do you think Aberdeen will be looking at him? And second, would Jens Bertrand be looking at Aberdeen and thinking, I want that job? Or do you think, I think he'd be better staying at Motherwell.
I agree. I think he would be better staying at Motherwell. I mean, to be in our last conversation, I've seen a few Celtic fans saying that they were looking at Askew as well for next season for Celtic. But and to be fair, when I've looked at, I think he right now Motherwell are playing well. They're fourth. They've won 9 games, drew 9, and lost 3. So they are doing really well in the league. I know they were drawing a lot of games, but they seem to have, be winning a few. Celtic recently. But yeah, I think would it be a good option to go just now to Aberdeen? Probably not. And to be honest, I don't know who would be a good choice for Aberdeen because it seems to be every manager that I've brought in right now. They've, obviously, of course, Jimmy Tillin was doing well. He won them the cup. And then when I was listening to you guys there, I think we had this conversation in September, October. Did we think he was going to lose his job even then? So I'm surprised at how long Jimmy Tillin's actually kept his job because I thought he would have been gone, arguably, September, October.
That run of form he was absolutely terrible. And the look, cup win absolutely has every right to kind of mask over that. But look, I can't remember the exact figures. There was at one point, I'm sure it was like 4 wins out of 31 games, which is unacceptable at any team, never mind a team the size of Aberdeen. Stefan, just getting around off the Pittodrie chat. Jimmy Tillett, well, now you already said you think it was the right time for him to go. Who do you think Aberdeen should be looking at?
Jens Bertrand Askew. I was going to jump in on this point earlier, but I like what he's done at Motherwell, and he's made Motherwell into a really solid footballing side, and it's something that I think Aberdeen are crying out for, a little bit of a style change. It's pragmatic. It's a good approach to football, but it's. For Aberdeen, they need something different. Tillin's style of football, I liked it when he first came. It was very aggressive. It was very in your face, very much smash mouth style. I don't know about this season, but it just feels like it hasn't clicked as much. And I think the Aberdeen fans would probably love to see that style of football back at Pittodrie. The question you have to ask, or you know, Asker would have to ask himself, is it worth leaving a club like Motherwell, who are punching well above their weight this season and dominating most games that they play? They dominated Celtic. They put up strong performances against Rangers. They were unlucky, by the way, at Ibrox, not to be two or three goals up in that game that they lost in just after Christmas, so the Boxing Day or the 27th December fixtures. I think Aberdeen should at least be asking the question and saying, "Well, hold on, what are Motherwell offering this guy, and can we tempt him away?" Where Aberdeen are in the league table would suggest that if I'm asking, I probably wouldn't be willing to move. I would at least be wanting the summer, or getting to the summer with Motherwell and seeing what's happening there. But I think that's who they should be going for. The problem with Scottish football, and we've seen this with Kilmarnock, is we have this managerial merry-go-round, and with all due respect, Neil McCann's not been on the managerial merry-go-round in 8 years, but we pluck these guys out of mid-air and we think this is going to work, and not to jump onto the Kelly stuff too early, but we need something different because I think it just demeans the Scottish game. But that's all I'll say on that for just now. But yeah, Aberdeen, ask you. Ask
I
you
w
the question. Nah, it didn't work.
I,
Ruined
no,
it.
I don't, I'm glad I cut you off there. Okay. no, I would absolutely love to see James Berto ask you at Aberdeen, if I've put my neutral cap on for a second. Sorry to any Motherwell fans who might not want to hear that, but seeing a prop Aberdeen fans might disagree as well, but they've not had a really strong threatening team since Derek McInnes left. I think Scottish football is a lot better when you've got, because obviously they're in the one club. One club city, that's the right phrase, isn't it? One club city. It's just, and Pittodrie is famously just such a hard ground for even like Celtic, Rangers, even Hearts, you've got a terrible record there. So it's, I think Scottish football, as much as people say there's a strong Celtic and Rangers, I think a strong Aberdeen does it just as many favours as a strong Celtic and Rangers do as well. But I thought it'd be interesting to see who they get, because if they want it, better. Ask you, I think they'll probably need to wait till the end of the season. But also, I don't really see them getting an interim guy till the end of the season. We saw how that worked with Neil Warnock. Maybe Peter leaving, he could take it till the end of the season. I see he was like
Well,
really come
I
on a
don't
joke.
know, because you've seen the sporting director in the dugout last night offering instruction to Peter
That's a very
Levin.
good point.
So I don't know. It wouldn't be surprised me if the sporting director ended up in the interim role.
As long as he's
Is
not
this?
stealing penguins.
I was going to say that. Is that the guy with
Aye.
the long hair?
yeah, I can't pronounce his name for the life of me. Is it
I'm not even gonna
Flamin
try
Flamin
it. I'm not even gonna try it.
Do you know what? I am going to try it. I just need to go and quickly find his name because I like making a mess of this. Where is it? Is Lars in it? I don't
No,
know.
it's like there's an L and an F and oh.
And all those other letters.
It reminds me of him that used to be in charge of Norwich. What do you call him?
Farker.
Aye, it reminds me about him with the hair.
I hear it's here. It's Lutz Fannin.
Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, trust and will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable, and I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. Trustandwill.com/FUTURE.
Steel.
It's actually not even that hard to pronounce. So.
Nah, Lutz
Yeah,
Fannin
just like.
Steel. So yeah, interesting pictures of him. Peter Leaven looked so disinterested in what he was having to say last night when I seen the image. I'm like, God, that's that sign when you've all seen the meme where the girl and the guy are in the club and he's talking to her right in her ear and she's just looking odd beyond bleakly, like, who are you and what do you want? But yeah.
I'm pretty sure that meme is in a club in Edinburgh, Club Pot Milk, but
I'm pretty sure
anyway,
the poor
boss.
guy that's been outed as a right boring beatbox.
Anyway, well, if views are unaware of what we were talking about before we started talking about memes, it was the Aberdeen sporting director and Peter Leaven's here at Ibrox last night, where Aberdeen failed to end up a 2-0 defeat to Rangers. Danny Rowe, he is a guy who, so many managerial changes this season. He's a guy who came in, I think it was about November or October time. Dom,
October.
he has firmly put Rangers back. Well, maybe not so much Danny Rowe and more so much the damage done by Wilfred Nancy, but both had to operate, didn't they? But Danny Rowe has put Rangers firmly back in the title picture.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think before the game against Celtic, I think they put out like a stat, and it was, I think, but from when Danny Rowe came in, they would have been like top of the league on stats. Like, so no, he's okay. They're not playing, you know, the best of football, but you know, he's similar to what Martin O'Neill was doing for the 8 games he was at Celtic the first time. He was this season. He was, you know, he's been winning, and that's obviously the most important thing. And now they're, you know, they're ahead of. They're now sitting second, and that it's like they were saying last night, there's a good chance now it's now a three horse race instead of a just a two horse race.
And then, Stefan, where do you think? Because it's not even so long ago, is it like this? Well, I was going to say this calendar year, 2025. A lot of people are saying this is the worst Rangers team we've ever seen, and then including like the team that got promoted and stuff like that. And that it's. I know Russell Martin made a lot of signings in the summer. A lot of them are kind of terrible. Even Tchermiti, I know he scored twice against Celtic, but even Rangers fans have been calling him an absolute waste of money as well. So, where do you think it is that they? First of all, whether they need to strengthen, and second of all, can they strengthen? Because they did spend about £20 million in the summer, and they've no got MD, unless I'm forgetting somebody, but unless they sell it, Nico Raskin, they've not really got like MD to offload to kind of recoup that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one for Rangers is where do they need to strengthen? I don't necessarily know. I think goalkeeping has always been a bit of a weak spot for them since the retirement of Alan McGregor. Jack Butland is done well for Rangers, but I don't think he should be the long term number one going forward. And I equally don't think Liam Kelly would be the long term Rangers number one. So I think like, not this window, it's definitely not going to happen, but in the summer, should be looking at a new keeper. Defensively, they're all right, I think, with Sitter and Fernandez seem to have shored up, and the, is it Magoma? And who was it? Was it Sterling the other day, played at right back? They seem all right defensively. Midfield, they just seem a little bit weak on. Would probably be the area you would most like to operate. I know Joe Rothwell came in and he was in and out the team a fair bit, but other than Nico Raskin and Conor Barron, the midfield, it's an interesting one. Is Tello Asgard your answer? I don't know. Diamandé seems like he's in and out every so often. Yeah, I'd probably say if Rangers are looking to strengthen anywhere, it's going to have to be the midfield. Chermite up front. Rangers aren't going to go out and buy another striker when they've just spent 10, 12 million in the transfer window in the summer for two strikers. So I don't see them buying another striker. Midfield is probably the most realistic one. Just quickly on Danny Rowe, he's done well since he came in, and actually. He's quite an interesting speaker. I always like listening to his press conferences. Find him really quite honest in what he has to say, and it's a very much of a different energy that he had to Philip Clement or Russell Martin or Michael Beale. You know, there was a bit of an arrogance whenever they spoke, but with Danny Rowe, it seems like he just speaks from his experience. We know how experienced he is and what he's done in football as an assistant and as a coach. So I always find it interesting to listen to him. But yeah, Alisson, he's done well. He's got Rangers back into the title race that they Considering their start to the season, they ultimately shouldn't have been in it. But you know, that's all testament to the players buying into what he wants. And you know, there's no better impact to have than a coach as the players buying into you and carrying that out on the park.
I don't know if, sorry, I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like it's been more than like 6 months. It feels like that was like last season almost, just because of how much has happened. You know, it just feels like that was like last year. This isn't, this is like a totally different season.
Been absolute whirlwind this season, I think. Whirlwind puts it like, it's been an absolute tornado this season. Just kind of what you're saying, Stefan, with the centre mids, I absolutely agree. I think Conor Barron was a guy I think kind of got a lot of pelters, especially when he's been included in the Scotland squad. Last two games, like, against Aberdeen last night, he looked really good. Celtic, I think, Celtic Park, he looked a lot more assured than himself. And then obviously Nico Raskin is Nico Raskin. If he turns up, he turns up. But I think they just need another guy in that three. I don't think Diamande quite cuts the mustard. Taylor Asgard, I don't rate him at all. Centre back, Emmanuel Fernandez was labelled a waste of money, but the guy always scores. So you're like, don't. I maybe not so much now, but I think maybe we should probably go and get two wingers in the summer, because also Mikey Moore will go back to Tottenham. If you can get him for another year, then absolutely great for Rangers. But on the right, I know they've got guys like Ant-Man and Gassama, but just trying to look at them in the rows.
And Tavernier as well, I think his contract's up in 6 months. So
Obviously, he was dropped at Celtic Park, wasn't he? And Max Aarons goes out on loan, his loan expires, so
I would
they can
expect
complete
Tavernier's
overhaul.
contract to be extended during the summer or just prior to the summer. People will say about Tavernier how he's not got the mentality of a Rangers captain. I disagree. He's done incredibly well for Rangers, and he's always stood up and been counted, and he's never once let you know, Rangers down as a club. He's always been there for them, and he's always been in the firing line. I think it'd be smart for Rangers to keep Tavernier around the place. Whether or not that's as a starting right back, I'm not sure, but they would definitely be stupid to not have him around, in my opinion anyway.
The only thing that annoys me about Tav is, do you ever remember, like, growing up, there was always that one guy, like, when you were, like, a wee guy playing football, and he's like, I will always take the corners, I want to take the free kicks.
Hey,
I just feel he's
that's
like
him.
that. Like, even, you know, it's like, even the opposite side of the pitch, there'll be, like, Rangers will be a goal down, and they're, somebody's grabbing the ball, ready to do a quick throw-in, and then he's wanting to come all the way over to the opposite side of the pitch just to take a throw-in. I'm like, mate, you're not going to make a difference from, you know, throwing in the ball.
Then late with Stefan today, I think it would be a bit daft not to keep him around the place. Also, that is now the Rangers 3 points behind Hearts. I think Hearts have got a game in hand of
Yeah,
Rangers
and
as well.
it's Wednesday.
But look, they've done absolutely well. We get back into the picture. Speaking of Hearts, though, I've wrote in the pod notes, would this season be a failure from this point if they don't win the league? Obviously, the season would not be a failure if Hearts don't win the league, but at the point, I
Yes, it
go.
would. Yes, it
Do you
would.
think, so the point I was going to make is, you've beat Rangers twice, you've beat Celtic twice, and you're top of the league for so long. I think if we are wanted to consider them a title challenger, then we've got to kind of judge them on the same pedestal as we judge Celtic and Rangers. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. They've done well this season. Dennett McInnes has them playing, and you know, we spoke about big games, and we spoke about that momentum, and we spoke about Hearts having to do the dirty work to maintain that they stay where they are. They've not been out of first place since September time. You can't be top of the table for that long, consistently churn out results, have good results against your title challengers, in both Celtic and Heart, both Celtic and Rangers, beat them home and away twice. Beat Celtic home and away, beat Rangers home and away. Okay, there's another four games, two against each, to go. A smart man's putting his money on Hearts beating Celtic on the 25th of January. I don't think, unless Celtic are able to get a multitude of players in, I think Hearts are still the favourites going into that game, especially at Tynecastle. I think they'll beat anybody at Tynecastle. I don't see why they can't go to Ibrox again and get a result there. Don't see why they couldn't go to Celtic Park again and get a result there. I think where it falls down for Hearts is they dropped points to Motherwell, they've dropped points to Aberdeen. If they seriously want to win the league, they have to make sure that they're picking up these points against the other sides and not just Celtic and Rangers. But yeah, if Hearts don't win the league this season, it would be a massive failure. And you know, Hearts fans, prominent Hearts fans, will say, "Well, no one ever expected Hearts to win the league." No, they didn't. But the fact that they've been top four this long and they've churned out these massive results, anyone saying that it wouldn't be a massive failure is talking nonsense, because it would be. You can't fumble the league.
And then
So,
Dom, oh, sorry.
no, that's it.
And then Dom, if Hearts did go on to win the league, do you think there'd be like a Montpellier or a Leicester, like winning at once and then just kind of fading back into like mid-table obscurity, or not mid-table obscurity, but like top six? Or do you think, look, this it's a there's three dogs in the race now for the tight in the title picture?
I mean, obviously, in August we were kind of downplaying that statement, weren't we? We were saying, "Nah, they're not going to put up a challenge this year." But lo and behold, they are, and it seems to be already they're bringing in players already in January to strengthen that squad, and I don't doubt they'll probably do the same again in June, July. So, yeah, I think if they finish strong, then this in the next couple of months, like I've said it to someone already, like I think they've had their blip, they had their wee blip, and then they beat Rangers and Celtic. So I think now they're in a really strong position to win the league, and I think it's just a case of can they maintain the squad that they've got or make it stronger for next season. So you never know.
Well, season's been full of twists and surprise. We can only wait and see what Hearts are going to offer us from here going forward, and see how they recruit well this window as well. Looking elsewhere in the world of Scottish football, we kind of touched on it just there, but Kilmarnock, I'm laughing because I've wrote in the pod notes, appointed name McCann dash in capital letters WTF question mark. I was obviously a bit surprised when I wrote this. Stefan, I'll go to you first because you touched on it earlier. Look, I don't think it's the worst.
Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable, and I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. Trustandwill.com/future.
Appointment in the world, but you would be seriously underwhelmed if you were a Kelly fan.
You'd be absolutely underwhelmed. And I'll go on to that point I was going to make earlier. Alessio came into Aberdeen, not Aberdeen, came into Kilmarnock, sorry, in 2018, 2019, and didn't get the results, right? But he was mocked because he was a forward-thinking European coach, and he wasn't your typical run-of-the-mill Scottish coach. And he didn't fit the system. And the media pals act came out, and he wasn't the guy to replace at Kelly. And it just goes that ever since that point, Kelly seemed to just go for the run-of-the-mill standard Scottish appointment. They changed a bit when they went for Derek McInnes, obviously during COVID. Down in the championship, and Derek McInnes came in and guided them back to safety. A bit of a outside the box appointment when you consider, not that the fact Derek McInnes is a Scottish manager, but when you consider how well he'd done at Aberdeen and where he'd got them to with the cup finals, cup semi-finals, coming second in the league for a good couple of years. That was a good appointment for Kilmarnock. But Neil McCann, that's not been a football manager since 2018, albeit he was an assistant to Barry Ferguson at Rangers back early last year, but that's who Kilmarnock have turned to turn their fortunes around to make sure that they don't get relegated. They've not won a game since October 4th, and they think that Neil McCann, who talks a great game on punditry, and I think he's a great pundit, I think he's an underrated pundit, but they think he's going to be the man to come in and save them. It's just an absolutely poor appointment. And if you're a Kelly fan who pays your season ticket every week to go and you're getting served up with a slop that you've not won since October 4th, and this is the guy that's coming in to change it, this is a blue sky thinking appointment that the Kelly board can think of. Deary me.
The reason I said I think it's that bad is because I've heard a few ex-pros say like they're surprised he's been at the game for that long as well. When I was doing a bit of research, I never realised he was at, I thought he was at Dundee for like a couple of months, but he actually lasted over a year there. And then, and like you said on Punditry, I know it's not always the case. We've seen it with Gary Neville. The best pundits don't typically become good managers, but he does talk a good game on like BBC Sports Scene and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm not going to write him off just yet. But again, I think it's no. Kilmarnock are not in a situation to be making a risk like that as well. Dom, just the last on Kilmarnock, one of their best players, or if not their best player, David Watson, he's out of contract at the end of this summer, or in this summer, I should say. Do you see him moving on this window, do you think Kelly are going to get, well, right, we'll get a fee for him, or do you think he's going to wait, go out of the wire, and then do you see him go to like a Celtic or the Rangers?
If I was Kilmarnock, I would rather take. It's kind of like the situation with Crystal Palace, and I know it's totally different. Like fees we're talking here, like multi-million pounds. But it's. I think it's similar to that. Like, would you? I think you'd be better selling them than now, and at least then you're getting some sort of fee for him because he is by far one of their best players. So I would agree with that. Like, I think it would be best trying to sell him now and get some sort of money into the club, because he has been by far probably one of their best performers this year.
It's that debate, and it's obviously I think you would have got a lot of money for him this time last year, but it's like do we just cash in while we can, or do we kind of assess our situation and go we can maybe do well play like, of his ability for the next 6 months, but like, you might sign a new contract that's also on the table as well, so we'll wait and see with intrigue because I think he'd be a big player for whoever he goes to, and even for Scotland in the future if he kicks on as well. But looking elsewhere around the table, St Mirren, they lost to Motherwell at the weekend. They're currently 10th. Stefan, just quickly, I'll try this a wee bit quick fire this, but I've spent a lot of time talking. Do you think the St Mirren fans, obviously St Mirren kind of go and lose every single game for the rest of this season and eventually get relegated, but do you think the fans will be less critical of Stephen Robinson because he's winning the cup this season?
No, I don't think they'll be less critical. I think it buys Stephen Robinson time, similar to what it did for Jimmy Tulleyn at Aberdeen. I think winning the League Cup and finishing in the top six would result in Stephen Robinson saying, "I've taken this club as far as I can physically take them," right? I keep saying this every time I talk about another team. St Mirren, winning the League Cup and not finishing in the top six would be adequate. If they were to finish any lower than the top six and into even relegation, despite a League Cup win, it buys Stephen Robinson time. But as a St Mirren fan, they should be concerned that their players can get up for the big one and win a cup final. And guaranteed, it's a or granted rather, it's a one-off game. But I don't think it would get Stephen Robinson off the relegation is the worst possible thing that could happen to St Mirren. I don't think any fans could forgive the manager for, despite winning a League Cup, could forgive them for that. I don't think there's enough money in the bank for that. It's a price too high to pay. So No, but if they are to finish ups, if they do finish outside the top six because of league success, that's still success in itself.
The magic of it, the cup. Elsewhere, Dundee beat Dundee United in a Dundee derby at Tannadice. I think it was Alfie. Is it Alfie May? He scored just in the stroke of half time. Dom Stephen Presley kind of got the job with a lot of ridicule in the summer, but surprisingly, kind of Dundee are far from safe. But sitting ninth, a big massive win in the derby. He's doing a lot of better. He's outlasted a lot more managers than a lot of us would have thought of.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we all kind of, at the start of this season when we were doing our predictions, we all had them down there for bottom or even like second last. But he's actually proved us all kind of wrong right now. And with, Dundee United, obviously, they were at one stage another team in the league that were flying, and that's, a big loss to them losing at home to their rivals across the road. So you have to, like I've said before, you need to praise Stephen Presley for what he's done with, of course, the budget that he's got and the players at his disposal.
And then another team who won their version of their derby, Hibs. They beat Hearts, or where was that was a wee while ago, just before the new year. Stefan, they're having a really, well, I think they're having a good season for their own standards. But do you think they've kind of fell victim to the rest of the league having a lot of success, especially their city rivals Hearts? They're top of the league. They're having an amazing season. But I think if you put Hibs' season in isolation. And stop comparing them to like Hearts and Motherwell, who are just having kind of, I don't want to say freak seasons because they might repeat it next season, but it's no giving David Gray the sort of credit that he deserves.
No, considering last year we were sitting on this podcast talking about David Gray on a shaky peg. No, Hibs are certainly a victim of their opponents and where their league opponents have been. I think it's still a success for David Gray. He took Hibs to the brink of Europe. He's gained a draw at Celtic Park. He's had a good couple of results. Dismantling Hearts in the New Year derby before really carelessly letting away two goals, which really shouldn't have happened, but I digress. That would have been a massive famous victory for Hibs. I think he's had a decent season so far, and I think he can be happy with it, and I think the Hibs fans should be happy with it, because it wasn't so long ago that, a decade ago they were languishing down in the Championship. David Gray has got them playing, and he's got them playing some good football.
No, absolutely. And then just to kind of close off the show, we'll look at the foot of the table. Livingston were one. Sorry if there's any Livingston fans laughing. I'm not listening. I'm not trying to laugh. They've won one game and it's the second game of the season. We're now about 20 games out of the season. It's absolutely dire straits for them, Dom, isn't it? And the only team they beat was ironically Falkirk, who are sitting about six on the table. They got promoted the same season. It went down to the. Went down to the well, never really went down to the wire. Falkirk were always in pole position in the championship last term. How did it end up being so close when both teams get promoted and there's such a gulf in quality between them?
Maybe it's down to management, maybe it's down to coaching. I couldn't tell you, but again, we're all, like, I was kind of similar to Dundee. We all kind of predicted Livingston to be at the bottom of the table. Like, that's not a surprise, but I still kind of thought they would have, won a couple extra games and just, like you were saying, just that one to date. So yeah, it's looking like a very bleak and impossible situation for Livingston to come back from, but we'll wait and see.
Oh, because of those pesky budgets, eh? Just the budget's faults.
Well, speaking of budgets, Scott Arfield's also about he's left Falkirk, and there's a rumor. I don't want to put my finger on the pulse too quickly, but there's a rumor that he's gone to Livingston. Look, I respect Scott Arfield's decision to leave Falkirk for such a more game time, but look, some like it had that emotional connection to Falkirk, you know what I mean? They got them back up. He was a big player in that sort of promotion bid when he signed in January. But it's a bit of a strange one, Stefan Livingston. I thought there's better teams in the league, I think, that could do with Scott Arfield, despite him being quite old now.
Yeah, it is a bit of an odd one considering he was at Burnley, then he was at Rangers, and you know he's obviously coming to the end of his career. You thought it's a fairy tale ending to finish at Falkirk. He helps him up, he gets him into the Premier League. You know, Falkirk arrive rising high, riding high under John McGlynn. It's a weird one. If it isn't such a game time, then fair enough. But there are multiple clubs. A better option than going to Livingston. Guaranteed he gets game time at Livingston, but his Premiership career comes to an end in May, and whether or not he's going to go down to the Championship and find a way back up, who knows? But yeah, it's certainly a bit of an odd one, to say the least. And
It did seem, it kind of seemed set up from just to retire at Falkirk after a season in the Premiership, just because that's where he started. And well, I was a bit, I know he's not a Falkirk fan, I think he's a big Rangers fan, but it did seem kind of set up for that to happen, didn't it?
it did. But he's obviously doing a lot more roles within the media, so maybe he just knows that this is his last sort of dance and he wants to go out playing as many games as he can.
Look, good luck to him. He's a guy that I've never criticised, honestly. But enough about Scott Arfield. That brings this episode to a close, the first of many of 2026, hopefully. We hope you've enjoyed listening. I've been Max, joined by Stefan and Dom. Thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of your week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.